Thank you for coming. I would just like to turn to the scriptures into Luke chapter 23. And I'm going to just read a few verses in Luke 23 again. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. If you would like a Bible, please mention to us, mention to myself or someone that goes to this meeting here, and they'd be more than delighted to give you a Bible. It's a wonderful book. And if you don't have one, make it your business to get one before the meeting ends. And I will gladly give you a Bible free of charge. So please feel free to say to us before you go home tonight. So turn with me, Luke chapter 23. And I'd like to read from verse 32 down to about verse 44 or 45. But we'll see how we get on as we go down these precious verses. It says there, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written above him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man, the Son of God, hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And we do trust that God will add a blessing to the reading of his scriptures this evening. You know, I've been struggling with what to speak on this evening. And I've had two messages and I've had two thoughts in my mind since I woke up this morning. And I settled on this because it's really important, it's fundamental that anyone in this meeting this evening who does not know Christ as their Saviour right now understands this, that you're free to make your own decision. But the decision you make is not free of consequences. You see, you're free to come in here, sit down, listen to the gospel message, and either accept or reject God's great salvation. It's up to you. And I'll tell you this, I would love to say to Billy at the back to latch that door closed and to lock it and to force you to get saved. But I can't. It's entirely up to you. But I say again, your decision, you are free to make it. But the decision you make is not free of consequences. And I bring to you three crosses and two choices. Three crosses and two choices. And here we have three men. One man died in his sin. One man died to his sin. And one man died for sin. Do you see it? Ah, what a beautiful picture. One man died to his sin. He died saved. One man died in his sin. He died unsaved. And we've got the blessed Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world in the centre. And he died for the sin of the world. How wonderful. But I want you to see this picture tonight. The picture of the cross 2,000 years ago, where there was two men hanging beside the blessed Son of God. But these two men made a choice. And these choices that these men made ultimately determined where they would spend all of eternity. And I'll tell you this, 2,000 years later, us right now, we are listening to this message, but these men are still living with the consequences of their decision. What do I mean by that? Very simply this, these men are still in heaven or hell. You see, these men decided in the last moments of their life where they were going to spend all of eternity. One man looked and lived, and one man turned and rejected, and the Bible says he's in hell. And that's the message of the gospel. You know, some people make the gospel very simple, very complicated, and other people make the gospel very simple. And that's me, because I'm a simple soul. And I was rubbish at school. And I hated school. And I've got very little qualifications, but I thank God that the gospel message is a simple message. And the Bible says it's for the whosoever, and that's the professor or the beggar in the streets. That's the person with $1 billion in the bank or someone with not two pennies to rub together. The gospel's for the whosoever, and it's a lovely, simple message. And it's this: if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, you'll be saved and you'll get to heaven. If you reject Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you'll go to hell. And I'll tell you this, you'll be there forever and ever. Because the Bible says very clearly that there is a great gulf fixed. What does that mean? It means your decision's final. It means you don't get to go there for a few days and sit and think about it. I maybe made the wrong decision. No, you're too late for that. The decision you make will determine your eternal destination. Simple, but serious. So here we have three crosses. And what a beautiful picture it is. And I don't want you to look at me tonight. I want you to picture in your mind Calvary's Hill. And three crosses sitting on top of it. And I want to look with you at the two crosses, one on either side firstly. And then we're going to finish. And there's no greater way to finish any message than by looking at Christ. So let's look at it this evening together. Let's look at the man that died in his sin. Picture it with me. Two men, criminals, probably partners in crime. There's every chance that these two men broke into somewhere together and get caught in the act and were being punished for the same thing. They were criminals. And in these days, a criminal was worthy of crucifixion. It's fairly harsh. Our justice system would be very different today, wouldn't it? But these men were being punished for their sins. That's what the Bible says. The Bible tells you and I that we are sinners in sight of God. But the Bible goes on to say this, that those who live in sin and die in sin will face the punishment for their sin. The wages of sin is death. But now this death isn't just this physical death that you and I are fairly well acquainted with. We know what death means. Not this death. This death doesn't just mean physical death. This death means spiritual death. And why is that so significant? It means separation from God. That's why it's so serious. You see, if you live in your sin, it's one thing. You can enjoy the pleasures of sin. But to die in your sin is so very serious. Because the Bible says you'll be separated from sin. You see, the Bible tells me very clearly that heaven is a holy place. And holy means without sin. Holy means separate, unique, set apart. And that's exactly what heaven is. And John got a glimpse of heaven in the Bible. And this is what he said. Nothing. Nothing that defileth. There'll be no filth in heaven. There'll be no sin in heaven. That's what the Bible says about heaven. So you see, if you live in your sin, if you enjoy the things of sin, but if you die in your sin, the Bible says that where God is, you cannot be. And that there's a special place. There's an awful place reserved for people that die in their sin. And that place is hell. Why do I tell you this? Well, two reasons. One, because we as Christians, we love you. We do. I might not know your name, but I love you in view of eternity. And in view of an ever-dying soul that you are in possession of tonight, we love you. And that's why we warn you. But also something else. We're commanded to tell you the gospel. And I wouldn't be doing my job. I wouldn't be fulfilling the task if I didn't warn you of the consequences of rejecting God's great salvation. And it's very clearly spoken about in the Bible that those who reject God's great salvation, you'll find yourself in hell forever and ever. Look at it with me. This man here, he was a criminal. He was enjoying his sin up to a point when he got caught. And it says that he was hanging on a cross just beside Christ. Picture the scene. A man moments from death. A man moments from the lake of fire. And he was almost in touching distance of the Son of God that was dying for his sin. And not just his, but the world over. He was almost in touching distance of the one that could save him. And he could hear the prayer of the Lord Jesus. And what a unique prayer it was. No man who had ever been crucified before or after this event ever prayed like Christ, "Father, forgive them." Oh, every other man that ever was crucified on a cross, they would have been blaming everyone else. And they would have been shouting and confessing their innocence. But not Christ. He just said, "Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do." And this man could see it. And this man could hear it. And he could see the uniqueness of God's Son. Can you see it tonight? Picture the scene with me. Picture Christ. And this man in his sins. And do you know what he did? Moments from death. If you be Christ, show us. Show us that you're Christ. Take yourself down and take me with you. That's what he said. And he listened to the mocking of the crowd. And rather than stopping and looking, he just continued living in his sin. You know, maybe that's like you tonight. Maybe the only time you ever look or speak about Christ is as a swear word. And mocking him. Do you know why? There's a few things in life that I hate. But do you know what one of them is? Is people using my Saviour's name in vain. I despise it with a passion. And not too long ago we were on a shoot. And the head gamekeeper had just a filthy, filthy mouth. But it wasn't so awful, the words that he was using, until he introduced my Saviour's name. And to show his disgust at a situation that had just happened, he brought the Son of God's name in. Dear friends, maybe that's the view tonight. Maybe you use the precious name of Jesus as a swear word. And it's the only time that his name has ever come across your lips. Ah, dear friends, I pray that tonight that his name will come across your lips as you bow down at the blood-stained cross of Calvary and acknowledge your filth before him and acknowledge your guilt before him. And you just cry out to the lovely name above all names and ask him to save your sinful soul and to remove your guilt and fit you for heaven in God's precious, sinless presence. Dear friends, if you've not done that, you need to do it. Because right now, presently, you're sitting here and your heart is as black as coal. And you're stewing in your sins. And you're just getting ready to spend the lost eternity in the lake of fire. That's the truth of it. There's no point messing around tonight. We're dealing with life and death. And it's heaven or hell. That's why the Bible says blessing or cursing. And then the man that spoke these words, he says, choose life. He said, you know, I call heaven and earth to record this day. I have brought before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then he says this, would you choose life? Would you get saved? Would you ask for your sins to be forgiven? Because you'll come into the blessing and you'll get into heaven. So look at it here. One man, being punished for his sins, and just in touch and distance almost of Jesus Christ. And rather than accepting his guilt before Christ, he decided just to die in his sins. You see, that man, make no mistake about it, he didn't go to hell just by chance. He didn't slip through the net. There wasn't no sort of miss of the justice system here with God. This man chose. He made a decision to reject God's offer of salvation. How awful. He was at the scene of the great substitutionary death of Christ. He was watching the man. Imagine it. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. The man was so blind he couldn't see that he was saving others. But he didn't acknowledge he was saving him. Do you hear it tonight? This man was so close to Christ, but yet he died in his sins. And what about you? You've been here night after night, and it's good to see you, but there's no benefit you coming without you responding to the message. You're just warming the seat. That's all you're doing. You're free to make your own choice, but the choice you make is not free of consequences. This one man saw Christ, he heard Christ, and he rejected Christ. Is that what you're doing presently? You're picturing Christ in your mind, you're picturing the three crosses standing tall on Calvary's Hill, on lonely Golgotha, and you're just rejecting Christ. Dear friends, I want to tell you, hell awaits the Christ rejecter. Someone asked, and this has been said many, many times, I'm sure. Someone asked, where's hell? Where's this place called hell that you speak of? And the response went back to them, I'll tell you exactly where hell is. Hell is at the end of a Christ rejecter's life. That's exactly where hell is. No such place as purgatory. No such place as what the other religions speak of, that you'll maybe go to this place for a little while, but you'll then somehow jump over into the promised land. It's not what the Bible says. When you're there forever. And this is where this man is presently, right now. The man that saw Christ, the man that heard Christ, the man that rejected Christ is lifting up his eyes, being in torment. How do I know this? The Bible's my authority for it. The Bible makes it clear. But look again with me. Look at the hill again. And yes, the man here, he rejected Christ. He saw and heard Christ, but he just said, it's not for me. But look at the other man. Look at the other man. And he could hear the mockings of the crowd and the chanting of these great political leaders. And he could hear what his friend was saying. But he got his eyes off everyone else. And he got his eyes on to Christ. He stopped listening to everyone else. And he realized that in sight of God he was a sinner. And do you know what he saw when he looked at Christ? Look at it with me. He looked at the feet. With the nails through his feet. He looked at the hands with the nails through his hands. He looked at the back that was torn to pieces. He looked a little higher and he could see the blessed face of Christ. Can you see it tonight? The sinless Son of God, and picture his face and the blood trickling down his face where they pulled the lovely beard off him. And look a little higher, and just above his eyes there was the crown of thorns. And just a little above the crown of thorns, the superscription, "The King of the Jews," the first ever tract that was ever published, was above the blessed head of Christ, the King of the Jews. And he looked at the face, and he could see that this face was marked with holiness, with deity, with beauty. And maybe this man remembered his childhood. And he remembered the scriptures. That he was wounded for our transgressions. And he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. Sure, we looked at it last night. And maybe this man remembered being taught it as a little boy. That by his stripes we are healed. And he could see it right before his very eyes. That the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He could see right before his eyes. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. And then he could see that he opened not his mouth. And maybe he could look back in the scriptures. And he could think about the fiery serpent. And how that this fiery serpent went into the children of Israel and would bite them and would kill them. But then he would remember that there was a brass serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness. And he remembered the story that whoever looked at this brass serpent would live. And this man realized that there was life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. This man realized that Christ was dying on the cross, not for things that he had done, but for things that this sinner had done, that this thief had done. Christ didn't die on the cross for his sins. Why? Because he had none. He was dying for the sin of the world. He was dying for your sin, and he was dying for my sin. Don't forget tonight that Christ wasn't dying for any wrong that he had ever committed. He was dying for wrongs that you are presently committing. And wrongs that I committed. One man saw Christ and rejected. One man looked at Christ. And what did he see? He saw the Saviour. He saw the one that was dying for him. And what did he say? "Father, today," he cried out, look at it with me again. What did he say? "Lord, remember me. Remember me." He acknowledged there and then that there was one superior to him and there was one dying for him. And he said, "Lord, remember me." Dear friends, if you cried that tonight, from an honest, open heart, do you know what would happen? The Bible says this: whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, what will happen? You shall be saved. What did that man do? Who did he call on? He called on the name of the Lord. And what happened? What was the answer that went back to this man? You're too late. You're coming now, just a few hours before. Not a chance, you're too late. No. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's why the Bible says that God will not cast anyone away. He'll not send anyone away. One man rejected Christ. One man died in his sin. One man died to his sin. You see, he saw his sin. He saw the filth of his sin. And he just simply gave it all to Christ. And he said, I believe that you're dying on the cross for my sins. I believe that you're paying the price that my sin demands. And he just simply said, Lord, save me. That's all he done then. The man couldn't take an exam. And the man couldn't take a fitness test or anything like that. The man just simply called in the name of the Lord and he was saved. You know, there was a story about a great religious meeting in Chicago. And they were meeting in a government building. And all the religious groups were there. And what they were doing was they were speaking to the parliament and showing the parliament why their religion was of any value to the city of Chicago. And they had 15 minutes each. And a few of the other boys got up from the different religions. And the last 15 minutes was left to this preacher. And he spent 12 minutes describing an awful lady. A real sinful lady. And he went into detail about the sin of this lady's life. And told the great congregation of how sinful this lady was. And he said, and by the way, she was a murderer as well. And then he turned to all the religious leaders. And he said, tell me, what can you do for this lady's past, present, and future sins? And there was silence. Absolute silence. And then he looked to heaven and he said, John, what do you say? John, what do you say about this lady's past, present, and future sins? And he said to this great congregation, John says this in my Bible, that the blood of Jesus Christ, who's God's Son, taketh away all sin, cleanses from all sin. And dear friends, that's true. World religions can do nothing for your sin. And I'll tell you, coming to church can do nothing for your sin. And giving to charity can do nothing for sin. And being a good neighbour can do nothing for sin. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can do anything for your sins. That's why it says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from some sin. From a few sins. From all sin. Do you hear it? You have the opportunity to have your sins wiped away. Removed. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, your sins will be gone. That's what's on offer to you. Why? Because of Christ. It's all because of him. Nothing to do with me. And I'll tell you this, it's also got nothing to do with you. You and I don't deserve it. I love two words in the Bible. Two beautiful words. One of them is mercy. And one of them is grace. It means this. To give what we don't deserve. We've just spoke about him. His name's Christ. And he was given for us on the cross at Calvary. And the free salvation that is offered is given to us. And I'll tell you this, not one of us deserve it. Not one of us. And I don't deserve it. I'm the first person to stand here tonight and say, I don't deserve it. That's mercy. Given what I don't deserve. And grace. Do you know what that means? Withholding what we do deserve. Do you know what I do deserve tonight? And you might not like this. Do you know what you deserve tonight? Is the punishment for your sins. And the punishment for my sins. That's what we deserve. Why? Because we're a sinner. And do you know what else? We don't just sin, we enjoy sinning. It's true. We love the taste of sin. But God gives us what we don't deserve, His precious, sinless, holy Son, and the offer of salvation. And it's all because of Christ. Are they not lovely words? Do you know what they mean? Have you come into the good of these words tonight? Have you accepted Christ as your Saviour? Do you know Him as Lord? Do you know Him as your Redeemer? Do you know Him as your Justifier? Because I do. I tell you, when I was a young boy of 13, and you might think, sure, this fella doesn't know too much about living in the world. I was just a young boy of 13. And it was in a little gospel hall in East Ayrshire when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Saviour. I'm 28, coming 29 soon, and I'll tell you this. It's still the best day of my life. And I've had a few good days since then. She's not here tonight, but I married a wonderful girl. But the day I met Christ, and the day I acknowledged my sin before Him, and the day I accepted the offer of salvation, it goes down in my life as the greatest day. And I'll tell you what, it's a day that I will look back to, not just until the day I die, but all throughout eternity. It's the day when I come to Jesus and accepted Him as my Lord and Saviour. Friends, do you know Him tonight? Not do you know about Him. Do you know Him? Ah, you've heard the story, but do you know Him? Ah, you've heard about Him dying on the cross, but do you know Him? Do you know Him as your Lord and Saviour? Have you given your life to Christ? He's worthy of it. Finish with another little story. If you haven't noticed, I'm a fan of stories. There was a teacher one day had an awful trouble with a young lad. The lad kept on giving bother, and he kept on getting into trouble. And the teacher eventually had to send him to the head teacher. And the head teacher looked at this little boy coming in. And he was from a rough enough background. And he was a frail wee lad. His parents didn't take the best of care of him. And he was a skinny wee boy, not like me. And the teacher said to this boy, the head teacher's going to have to punish you. It was back in the day when you could give them a belt. I'm glad I went through school without the belt. I'd be red raw, probably still. And the head teacher looked at this wee boy sitting in front of him, and he said, you know, your name has been mentioned to me time and time again, and I can't let it go on. I'm going to need to punish you. But in this teacher's head, he was looking at the young lad, and he could see the frailty of his body. He could see that his health just wasn't too good. And he was quite a disobedient wee lad. And he kept on doing things wrong. But It pained the teacher that he had to punish him. And it was custom at this school that when they were punished in front of the school, at assembly. So the next morning, assembly came, and the head teacher took the little lad up the front of the school. And he looked again at this little boy, and he announced to the school, he says, you know, such and such continues to disobey instructions. And we don't tolerate this at school. And I'm going to need to punish him. But he said, look at him, he's a frail young lad. But I've no choice, I must punish him. And you know what happened? Away at the back. Right at the back of the assembly hall, this big strapping young man got up. And he walked all the way forward and he stood in front of the head teacher. And you know what he said? I'll take his stripes for him. I'll take his stripes for him. You know, friends, do you know who that little frail boy is? That's us. And you know who that big strapping man is? That's Christ. And he came a long journey. Not just dying in assembly hall, he came from heaven. And he came to earth. And it took him 33 years to live on this earth. And he took a long journey to die on the cross to take our place. Christ wasn't put off by the distance of the journey, was he? You and I, when we look at a map of Scotland and we need to go somewhere, ach, it's too far. Christ, when he was in the splendours of heaven, he looked down on earth and he wasn't deterred by the distance. He just looked at us. And he was prepared to come, and what did he do? He took our place and he took our punishment on the cross at Calvary. Do you see it tonight? You're the little frail young boy that must be punished. But Christ has came in. He stepped down and he stepped into time. And he stepped into your place. And he paid the price. You know, that little boy walked away free that morning. The other man suffered the consequences and paid the price for that little boy's what? Redemption. That's what Christ has done for you. And that's what Christ has done for me. I ask you again. And we've asked the question every night. What are you going to do with this man that is called Christ? There is life for a look at the crucified one. So what about it for you? Remember, you're free to make your own decision. But the decision you make, it's not free of consequences. I pray that tonight, before you get up off your seat, you will simply come to Christ and ask him to take your sins away, and you will submit, you will render your life to Christ. That's what you do when you get saved. You give him ownership of your life. Dear friends, I pray that tonight you'll do it before it's forever too late. Shall we pray?